If you ever need reminding what it feels like to be English, then there is no better place than Cardiff or Brecon. In fact, any Welsh town or village during the Six Nations rugby tournament, and especially an England versus Wales match. Everywhere is a sea of red and singing and chanting. And amazingly, they know straight away that you are English, whether you speak or not, and you're reminded of this quite a lot. If you're feeling particularly brave, you might venture into one of the pubs for some liquid refreshments while the match is on. But this is a hostile environment. While being treated to some wonderful singing and atmosphere, the banter can get a little close to the bone, shall we say, and pretty relentless. But one thing you do notice is how fickle the crowd can be. During renditions of Land of My Fathers, the red-clad players are all heroes to the nation, celebrated and cheered. And somehow they're all related to the people in the pub, being mother-in-law's cousin or some other distant but reasonably recognisable relation. Those men on the pitch can do no wrong. That is, until they start losing. And then, well, things change a little bit. Suddenly, they seem to be the worst people who ever looked at a rugby ball, let alone picked it up. And certainly not worthy of wearing the red dragon. And well, actually, they aren't really related after all. The joyous cheers move to moans and tears. The atmosphere very quickly moves from warm and vibrant to quite icy cold at moments. Of course, if England are actually winning, then it's time to beat a hasty but quiet retreat. There is a reason why they only charge you to go into Wales on the Severn Bridge. But seriously, it's amazing how the mood and collective consciousness of the crowd can change in a very short time, depending on the external influences on it. This Palm Sunday, as many of them, we look again on Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. And our two gospel readings capture the two positions of the collected peoples. We started this morning's gospel with the procession, with a jubilant and joyful welcoming of a Messiah into a holy city. Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. And then we arrive here. And we've just heard, and you very patiently sat through, the gospel passion. And that haunting cries of crucify, crucify him. How and why did the collective consciousness of the crowd change so quickly? And did either the crowd on Palm Sunday or the one on Good Friday really understand what they were saying or who Jesus was? Or was it more herd mentality and following? As we reflect through this week and the pain of Holy Week, it's an annual reminder, and I think important to note that when we reflect on these stories, we are not Christ. We are the crowd. We are those watching Christ. How often in our lives, when we meet or are given something that is lovely, that is fruitful, that is pregnant, full of possibilities of growth. How often do we shout, "Crucify," rather than "Hosanna"? We too so often spoil a gift rather than cherishing it. How often have we celebrated Jesus in one moment only to turn away and reject him the next? How often do we need to guard against just following the herd? And so as we enter this week, we remember that Jesus takes and shoulders the cross, and he moves towards the place of the skull, that place where Hosanna and crucify meet together, where they are accepted and where they are transfigured and glorified. And now we walk with him again, once again for another year, and we prepare to shoulder the crosses of our own making, our own betrayals and our own abandonings. And we walk with him into the darkness of these next 6 days. But we do it knowing that the victory has already been won, that the way to life stands open, and that sorrow and love have already met us, even as we walk towards them. Amen.